Everybody make their way onto the choir, please. Come on. It won't hurt, but just a minute. Come on to the choir.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you this morning. Open your Bibles up to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. It's right before 2 Peter. I heard the groaning inside of you, some of you. 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you don't have a Bible with you in the pew in front of you, there should be a Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I remember growing up as a kid, as Christmas would get closer and the tree would come up, the anxiousness that awaited me under the presents and wanting to unwrap them and find what had been bought for me or had been given to me. And I could not wait to open those things up. But the problem was that as soon as I opened them up, I either broke them, lost them, or forgot about them. And then the anxiousness would go away. May I tell you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, number one, you have something a whole lot better to look forward to than Christmas presents. Amen. All right? And let the 1 Peter chapter number 1 describes what we have in store for us this morning as believers. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope, a living hope, something we can hang on to that's never going to die. For by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And here's what we have waiting for us. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now look at verse number 5, though. Here's a difficulty that some of us encounter. See, somehow we think that we have to make our own effort and our own duty and our own abilities to keep that alive for us. May I tell you, we got nothing to do with it. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is the one who keeps that power. God is the one who makes it possible. God is the one who has prepared it. And all you've got to do is trust what His Word says. I think sometimes we get too enamored with this, when we also forget that we've got that waiting for us. Incorruptible, undefiled, that never fades away. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for that promise and the thousands of promises that You have made to us in Your Word. God, sometimes it's hard to focus on them because we're so enamored or so concerned with our circumstances on this earth. Sometimes we hurt. Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes the thief, the liar, Satan himself tries to discourage us and make us want to quit. But I thank You that You are mightier than Satan ever thought about being. Thank You that You are the lover of our souls. And thank You, Father, that You'll never leave nor forsake us. I know in this very room right now there's some folks that are struggling. And one of those people that's struggling is standing right here praying. I struggle on a daily basis. I want to be the man You want me to be. And I know that there's some kindred hearts in this room just like that. They want to be who You intend for them to be. And it's a daily struggle. May we rely upon You to help us to do that. May we trust You to do that in our lives. Thank You for never giving up. Thank You for not forsaking us. And I thank You that You love us in spite of us. Now this morning, Father, we want to continue to worship You. We've already begun to do it by singing. And in just a few moments, we'll do it by giving back to You financially. And in a few moments, we'll fellowship one with another and we'll do some more singing and hearing Your Word. But may we just take this quiet time now and to focus on You. Because You're the only one worthy. God, I love you. I thank you, God, that you love us. We cannot do it without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Scott, come on up.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to give you a report about some missionaries that we support in New Zealand. So Joel and Beverly Shove were part of starting Bay Baptist Church in Napier, New Zealand. And so in their report, he starts out with, why are we still here? And according to 2 Peter 3:9, this is it right here. There are people whom God still wants us to reach.
Amen.
And so that's what we get to be a part of when we give for missions. We give money to help support missionaries all over the world, locally and abroad. And so there's still people that need to be reached with the gospel. And they get to do things that we don't get to here. I would dare to say that we've never, I don't know, I guess you never know. But I'd say we've never had any Muslims in our church. You think we've ever had any Muslims in our church? Maybe. But in New Zealand, they had their outreaches there at the end of last year. They had their sports banquet, their girlfriend's banquet, and they had, just like what we do in our church, they had a Christmas program. And in all three of those outreaches, they gave the gospel, and he reported that at two of those programs, there was a Muslim family that was there. So some cool opportunities that we have, not by being there, you know. How many of you even been to New Zealand? Raise your hand if you've been to New Zealand. None of us. But we can be there indirectly and spread the gospel by giving. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
And we're going to pray for them. That's the most important thing we can do. And we're going to do that shortly. So they're having church issues that we can relate to. Their roof. Yeah, right? Didn't we have some roof problems? We can relate. So they're raising money to fix their roof. Theirs isn't covered by insurance. They're just trying to raise $50,000 because their roof is leaking. So they're having real life issues just like what we do, but they're still going forth and holding church and doing their thing like we do. So we're going to pray for their roof, but we're also going to pray for their outreaches. They do a whole lot with their teens, and they have programs in the school right there. And they also do something that we don't do. Guess what season it is in New Zealand right now? It's summer, right? So they're hot. They're doing summer camp right now. They're off of school for a month. They hold year-round school, but they're off in January. So right now they're having their summer camp. So their pastors are going to be holding youth camp. They're going to go to youth camps and be preaching there. So let's pray for those opportunities. And the Shofs are just faithful pastors doing their thing and seeing people saved. So it's very cool. Let's pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for the Shofs in New Zealand. We pray for the members going there. We pray for the families that have attended their outreaches and don't yet believe. We pray for them to seek you, Lord. And we thank you for their growth in their church. They also reported of people wanting to go and be a witness and wanting to minister in the church. And we pray for the Shofs going out to teach at the summer camp. And we thank you for their opportunity to spread the gospel. We pray for them raising money, and we can give too, and help us to give to these churches that need it. And we pray for their roof to get fixed and for them to raise the money. We praise you, Lord, because you're awesome. You work all around the world, not just here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, as Danny gets ready to lead the choir, gentlemen, come on forward, and we'll get ready to take up the offering as soon as the choir number is done. So if you guys could come sit up here and get ready. Choir, go ahead, Brother Danny.
Where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Amen. Gentlemen, come on up. We'll go ahead and take up our offering. There's two of them. One coming down. Amen. There's Joe. Fantastic. Need one more over here. Praise the Lord. All right, Brother Joe Shavinsky, would you please pray for the offering?
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we love you so. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for all the folks that are here today. We praise you. You know what we need. You know what we're going to do, Lord. You know what before we can do. So we praise you this morning. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the offering this morning. We ask that you bless each and every person here today. They have something special they can share. So we praise you now as we go. We ask you to bless the offering.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Good to see each one of you here this morning. There'll be no children's church this morning. Sorry about that. Glad to see each of our visitors with us this morning and our normal crew of scallywags. So good that all our people here with us this morning. Didn't the choir do great this morning? Say praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we just want to lift up the name of the Lord. Don't really matter how many's up here. Don't really matter what we sing. We just want to lift up the name of the Lord. And thanks for each of them that come up here. Sing with us this morning. 133 in the church hymnal. I feel like traveling on. Everybody standing. Everybody that has a book, or if you don't have a book, we're going to sing the last verse. And I think that this could be everybody's testimony this morning. If you'll just look at the words right here and just see if that first line applies to you today. See if it applies to you. How many can say the Lord has been so good to me this morning? So good to me. Thank Him for all that. The Lord has been good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. We're going to sing one more chorus of one song just before we fellowship, number 235. He set me free this morning. 235, first verse together now. He set me free. Once like a bird in prison I dwelled, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. My Jesus to see for glory to God, He set me free. Last verse together. Goodbye to sin and faith I've been found. Not all this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory to God I'm going through. Yes, He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. My Jesus to see for glory to God, He set me free. Can we say this morning, praise the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's pretty weak, I'm just telling you. That's pretty weak. Come on now. Praise the Lord. All right. Fellowship around a little bit, and the choir will come down.
Before I sing this song, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about suicide, depression, and anxiety in youth group, which has been especially going on in the world and here in North Carolina. We first lost Carrie Powell, then a teenager from Cherokee High School, back in November. Sadly, me and my family have lost the sweetest, funny, outgoing friend, cousin, daughter, niece, and most of all, my best friend to suicide. It has been 2 months ago today since she has passed. And so this song that I'm singing is about how if you're in that deep hole and you can't get out, the only thing that will save you is by accepting God as your Savior and believing that He will be with you every step of the way, no matter what. This song is called You Will Be Found. Y'all are more than welcome to stand up and worship with me as I sing.
Nobody was there. Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear? Like you could fall no one would hear. So let that lonely feeling wash away. Baby, there's a reason to believe you'll be okay. And when you don't feel strong enough to stand, you can reach out your hand. And oh, someone will come running, and I know they'll take you home. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So when that sun comes streaming in, you'll reach up and you'll rise again. Lift your head and look around, you will be found. You will be found.
There's a place where we don't have to feel unknown.
And every time you call out, you're a little less alone. And oh, and if you only say the word, from across the silence, your voice is heard. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So when that sun comes streaming in, 'cause you'll reach up and you'll rise again. Lift your head and look around, you will be found. You will be found. Shadows, the morning is breaking. All is new, all is new. It's filling up the empty, and suddenly I see that everything's new. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. So when that sun comes streaming in, you'll reach up and you'll rise again. If you only look around, you will be found.
Amen. Doggone it. I can't do it no more. I'm tired of this. Tools clattering on the sidewalk. Tears flowing from his eyes. Melvin's dad came running outside. What's going on, Melvin? What are you so upset about? There was his bicycle turned upside down and the chain was hanging off. There was a monkey wrench. There was a screwdriver. There was a hammer. There was some sort of piece of metal that he couldn't identify, and there's poor Melvin sitting there crying like a little baby. Melvin, what's going on? Dad, I can't get my chain back on my bike. If I can't get my chain on my bike, I can't ride. And if I can't ride, I can't go see my friends. And if I don't show up to my friend's house, they're not going to like me anymore. And then I'm going to go to school tomorrow, and nobody's going to want to be around me. And then I'm going to end up dying and be by myself. See, a lot of us do that same thing. We start going on and on and on and on and on and on, when in reality, none of it's really true. So there he is crying, trying to get his bicycle chain put back on, and he's failing every single time. Bloody knuckles, dirt on the chain, and he's wanting to just give up. Listen, a lot of us experience life the same way. Maybe this week you got busted knuckles and you got blood all over the place. Maybe this week you wanted to give up. Maybe this week you said, I cannot do it anymore. I'm finished. May I tell you, you don't have to be. Melvin's dad said, Melvin, why didn't you ask me? All you had to do was call me and I'd have gladly come back out here and put the chain back on the sprocket for you. Melvin said, but Dad, I wanted to do it myself. I believe that a lot of us are like Melvin. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. We've been looking at obeying the Lord and trusting Him for everything. In chapter number 2, it kind of prepares us for chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, I'll start in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them, mercy and truth, about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Healthy navels, bone marrow, and full barns. In this life, we want to be successful. I don't know of a single person that would raise their hand this morning and say, Brother Brian, I don't want to be successful. I want to be miserable. I want to be addicted. I want to be this and I want to be that. And I just simply want to live my life living in the dirt. I don't know a single person that has a sane thought that wants to do that. And if we were all honest this morning, we'd all raise our hands and say, Brother Brian, I want to have a healthy navel. How many of y'all know where your navels are? We're in church. You're not supposed to talk that way. We all have one. It was the connection between you and your mother inside of the womb. It's what gave the lifeblood from your mother into you and helped you to grow inside the womb. And so we want to have healthy navels. How many of you recognize that it's good to have strong bone marrow? Yeah. Leukemia is a disease that attacks the bone marrow. And that's cancer and destroys. And so we want to have strong and healthy bone marrow. I like this third one. I like to have a full barn. And some of you have that. It's called hoarding. I'm just teasing. But a full barn. We want to have success in life. And say, Brother Brian, how can I have those things? How can I have a healthy navel? It has nothing to do with picking the lint out of it. How can I have healthy bone marrow? It's got nothing to do with taking injections. How can I have a full barn? It's got nothing to do with going to estate sales. All of those things come about by when we obey the Lord and trust in Him. See, look what it says here in chapter. Put up number 1 for me, guys, if you wouldn't mind. It says in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't try to figure it out yourself. There, Melvin was trying to put the chain back on himself. He was using every tool he could find. He was even using a piece of metal that wasn't even a tool to try to get the chain back on, and it did not work, and he got upset, and he got frustrated, and his mind instantly went to some place that didn't even exist. This morning, some of you, including me at times, are trying to run your own life. You've got it all figured out, you think. You think that you've got it all solved. You think that it's going to be A, B, C, D, E, F, no G. As far as you know, F is all this last point, but the problem is you started at A and you ended up at 5. And you're thinking, now wait a minute, I didn't intend for this to happen. I was doing my best to go down the right way, but it seemed to go completely awry. You know when that happens is when we usually try to do it ourselves without consulting the Master, without talking to Him. Because look at what it says there in verse number 7. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Next slide, please. Admit that you don't know everything. That's a hard one. May I confess to you this morning, I don't know everything. Well, it's apparent, Brother Brian. But I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but can you join that club that you don't know everything? Look what Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21 says. Hold your finger here in Proverbs. Go to Isaiah 5, 21. Look what he says here. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 21, Isaiah says these words. He says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. May I tell you, you cannot do anything by yourself. There's not a single thing. We say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I'm successful in business, I'm a successful father, I'm a successful this, and you start naming. Let me ask you, where did the strength come from to do those things? Exactly right. Out of the mouth of a babe. God gave us the strength to do all those things. But the most important thing that you cannot do on your own is salvation. You cannot have eternal life. You cannot have a right relationship with God. You cannot be in right standing in God's eyes alone by yourself. You've got to have a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death. Well, I'm glad it doesn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You get that settled. You decide and you pray, God, I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And you trust Him. You've got the most important thing done right there. Trusting Jesus Christ, your Savior. And then the promise we find in the book of Hebrews, that He'll never leave us or forsake us. As Melvin sat there crying and frustrated and ready to give up, all he had to do was say, Daddy, I need you. And I firmly believe that his daddy would have come running out there and helped him put that chain back on the sprocket. And then he could have gone to his friends. And then his friends would have been happy with him. And he could have gone to school the next day and had a good time and celebrated the great time they had. And then he wouldn't die all by himself. Poor little Melvin. Admit you don't know everything. Go to Romans chapter 12 real quick. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Care about each other. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't be wise in your understanding. Don't say, I've got it all figured out. I can do it on my own. Be willing to admit that you can't. And until we get to that point, you can't go any further. Until that becomes starting point A, you will never get to E. You will never get to Z until starting point A, you admit that you can't do it. You can't break your addiction by yourself. You can't break the fact that you feel lonely all by yourself. You can't break any of the problems in life and have to be the right type of husband or parent or friend or brother. You cannot get there until you admit that you can't do it by yourself. You need Jesus Christ, but you also need everybody else around you to help you. We were never meant to walk this road alone. This morning, some of you feel alone. Whether you're a teenager, you're a child, you're an open adult, an older person, someone as old as Brother Dale, you feel like, you know what? Nobody cares about me. Mackenzie, I love that song this morning, sweetie. You're not alone. And if you start to feel alone, ask. Ask for help. Reach out. There's plenty of people in this room that will walk with you. You're never alone. Look at the second part. Admit that you don't know everything, but number two, guys. There you go. Put God in His rightful place by reverencing Him. Put God in His rightful place by reverencing Him. Look what it says in verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Admit that He's the only one that can do it. Proverbs 16:6 says this. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Growing up, I had a healthy, unhealthy fear of my father. If I messed up, I understood and realized that he had a paddle. It seemed like 15 foot long, but it was probably about 2 feet long. And it was curved and it had holes in it. And I knew that if I messed up, I would feel the paddle. I'm not saying that's healthy, and I'm not saying that's the way it ought to be. But I remember that fear of that paddle kept me out of a lot of problems. Now, we ought not to fear God and be afraid that we're going to be punished by God. We ought to do what we do because we love God, because He first loved us. Do not look at God like He is your earthly father, because His love is more abundant and gracious and merciful than your earthly father is. I've tried my best to be the right kind of father on this earth to my children, but you know what? I have failed, usually daily, because I'm a human being. And I don't want my children to look at God like they look at me, because I'm a failure as a father sometimes. But your Heavenly Father never fails. He knows exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it. He formed you in your mother's womb. He sees you where you are today, and He's got something in the future planned for you. And He simply says, just reverence me. Trust me. Put me first place, and I will show you in the way you ought to go. And if we were honest this morning, we could raise our hand saying, Brother Brian, I got off that path a long time ago sometimes. I was going from A to B, and I saw this, and I didn't reverence God, and I got all the way to number 74 from A. I'm glad that God allows U-turns. I'm glad that God says, come to me, and I will forgive you. Come to me, and I will cleanse you. Place God where He belongs. Number 3. Completely turn away from evil. Completely turn away from evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. Proverbs 3 says, depart from evil. Look how Paul tells Timothy. Now, Timothy was a pastor that Paul was trying to train. He was a young man, and Paul was trying to give him some wisdom and advice. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look what Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, and here it is, the Lord knows them that are His. Underline that. The Lord knows who are His. If you are His, if you like writing in your Bible, put your name right there. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, God knows who you are. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. He knows exactly where you are at this very moment. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The word depart means completely leave. A burning car, and you're sitting in the driver's seat, and the flames are coming towards you rapidly. The windows are popping. The seat beside you, the passenger seat, is burning. Are you going to sit right there and warm your hands next to the fire? Absolutely not. You're going to be looking for that door handle to get out. You're going to depart that car. Because if you don't, you're going to get burned up. Brothers and sisters, depart from iniquity. Depart from the sin that so easily besets you. Depart from that. But you say, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. What if I'm in that car and I can't get the door open? I can't find it, and I'm smuggled, and I'm struggling, and I can't find it. What do I do? Cry out for help. Help! Anybody, help! You got God to help you, but God always sends somebody else to come alongside and open that door for you. Right now, some of you are in the midst of iniquity. Iniquity, that's a good old-fashioned word. Okay, let me finish it. Sin. Whatever it is, you're in the middle of it. And you're bathing in it, and you're eating it. It's all over your face, and you're wanting to get out of it, and you don't know how. And God doesn't love you no more. No, 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 no. Don't listen to the liar. Help. Help. Depart from it. But I don't know how, Brother Brian. Whew. May I tell you? The first step is stop trying to figure it out yourself. Number two, looking to God, help me. And number three, physically removing yourself from it. Not partially, but completely. Repent. Get away from it. Go the opposite direction. Leave your sin and go to God. But don't go by yourself. Let me illustrate this for you. Daniel, come here for a second, please. Real quick. On the other side of that door represents some nasty stuff, but it's appealing. And it makes you feel good temporarily. And all you got to do is walk through that door. And as soon as you go through that door, I tell you what, all the pleasures of the flesh are available to you. And the siren song is saying, Daniel, come to me, Daniel. It'll be okay. You can enjoy it freely, and nobody's going to know. And so you begin to walk that way, and suddenly the Holy Spirit says, stop. And He says, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's so appealing to me. I got to do it. And He keeps walking and stops. And He says, help. I'll walk with them. I don't do this. I don't do, okay, I'll walk with you in it. I say, I'll walk with you. And he pulls and he yanks. It don't matter. I'll tackle him if I got to. Depart from evil. Don't go through that door. But you got someone walking with you. Got God, but you got people. I'm walking with this man because I love him. Depart from evil. You say, well, Brother Brian, what about being judged? What about being condemned? Listen, that's the liar. Find somebody you trust that loves you, that will walk with you. You don't have to do it by yourself. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3 real quick. Give me the next slide, guys, please. Give God the best that you have first. Look what it says there in Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Give God the best that you have. I knew he'd get around to talk about money. And not money that I'm talking about. That has to do with it. You know what God wants? He wants you. He wants you. That's why he's constantly saying, all. He doesn't want just a tenth of you. He wants 100% of you. He wants your talents. He wants your abilities. He wants your body. He wants your mind. He wants everything. He says, I created it so that you could worship me. We say, Brother Brian, I don't have very much to give. How many of you can add 1 + 1? A few of you. How many of you know your first name? Guess what? You have a talent. You can do something with what God's given to you. Amen? Give God first. But then look what he says. Here's the advantage of that. We're going to skip Malachi, go to the next thing. Here's the advantage of doing that. Here's the benefits. Number one, the ability to withstand temptation. He gives you the ability to withstand it. God, I need help. Lord, help me, God, please. All right, my child, I will help you to withstand temptation. Now, going through the door, God, help me. No. He will help you. But isn't it easier to say, God, help me out here, than it is to say, God, help me out there? It says that he provides a way of escape in every situation. Before you click on that computer image, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart saying, you don't need that. Before you go to get that bottle or that pill or that leaf, the Holy Spirit is saying, you don't need that. Before you're getting ready to have a relationship with someone you shouldn't be having a relationship with, the Holy Spirit is saying, you don't need that. Call upon me. I'll help you. Before you're willing to give up, the Holy Spirit says, don't. I'm right here with you. You have the ability to withstand temptation. Second thing, you have the ability to be the example of grace and mercy. May I tell you, I'm an example of God's grace and mercy. I was telling someone the other day, if you would have known me when I was 18 years old, there's no way you'd be sitting here listening to me right now. Mamas, you'd have kept your children away from me. And I'm not glorying in it. I had no morals. I wasn't raised morality. I was raised to the flesh. Well, I ain't never coming back here again. May I tell you, I am a standing example of God's grace and mercy. I never committed a felony, so don't worry, okay? And as far as I know, the police are not looking for me. But I did not have Jesus Christ. But He saved me at 21 years of age. And I am an example of God's grace and mercy. If you will trust Him and place your faith in Him, you can be an example of grace and mercy to somebody else. So now before you start looking your nose down on me, why don't you look in the mirror and say, God, thank you. I'm an example of grace and mercy. I thank Him every day for His grace and His mercy. Number three, you get the ability to glorify God. How many of y'all saw the sunrise this morning? Wasn't that gorgeous? The orange and the red and the yellow. And I was just sitting there in that chair looking through. I said, God, thank you for that. Wow! I had a cup of coffee and I finally woke up and I watched it. That is glory to God. But the only problem is, red sky at morning, sailor take warning. I don't know what that means. But it was beautiful. Fourth thing, the ability to think and to live holy. As the Holy Spirit works on you and is cleaning you and changing your thought pattern and putting you in the right place with the right people at the right time, it's amazing how thinking and your clarity of mind is. When you depart from that evil and you're walking with someone in Christ and you're growing together, it's amazing what your mind is able of comprehending. Man, after I got saved, it was like, wow. I don't have to go to that disco anymore. I don't have to get involved with the alcohol anymore. I don't have to worry about all these things I worried about before, because guess what? That doesn't appeal to me anymore. I can wake up in the morning without a headache. I can wake up in the morning not worried about what I did the night before. And I didn't have to do it by myself. God rest his soul. I don't know if he's alive or not, but a man named Charles Pippin took a young 21-year-old stupid airman and walked with me. Whew. I don't know if I'll probably never see him on earth again. But when I get to heaven, I'll see Jesus and I'll see my friends and my loved ones. I'm going to find Charles. Charles, thank you. Number five, you'll have the ability to experience abundance. Because look what it says there in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Woo! Now there it is, Brother Brian. There's the alcohol. New wine is not alcohol. New wine is that sweet juice. God will give you the abundance. Well, oh, so there's your promise, Brother Brian. I knew you'd get to it, where I'm going to have all the money in the world that I need. And that's not what it says. You're going to have the ability to experience abundance in peace, in love. See, Melissa and I are not from around here. I'm from New Mexico. She's from Mississippi, and if you spend any time talking to her, you can apparently know she's from Mississippi. And that's okay. See, our families are thousands of miles away. But this is our family. You're part of that. That's an abundance that I could never ask for and appreciate. So are my barns full? Yeah. I'm not a hoarder, though. My barns are full with love for my family. and yours can too if you just simply do it God's way. Amen? So how about it? Are you ready to have good old bone marrow and a healthy navel and a full barn? Do it God's way. Now, what happened with little Melvin? Did his daddy help him get the chain back on the sprocket? The world will never know. You finish the story. Let's stand together this morning.